Good morning, church. That's all right, Millie. You can walk in front of me. That's all right. Jim, you think it's ready? We should start worship with everybody talking. Should we go ahead? I think we should. Good to have everybody this morning. Man, we had a bunch of little munchkins running around here this week. If you didn't get to see some of that, you missed it. You'll get to see a little video in a little while, but there was a lot of energy in this place. I pray that we can duplicate the energy and worship that those kids had this week. Shall we give that a try? Man, they were all into it. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into this place as we worship. We want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. Let's pray. Father, you are good. We love you, we love you, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit into this place, that name, Jesus, would be high and lifted up. We pray it in that precious name. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
I know he watches. seated. Children, don't come up quite just yet.
But I will invite James and Patsy Cox to come up. While they are coming up, this is James and Patsy Cox and Miss Terry Matthews' mom. So I told Patsy, I told Terry that now she has to be good. Like my mom's here, so I have to be good. She's never minding you. Y'all come right up here. James and Patsy come this morning to join our church. They've already accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've already been baptized. We receive that with thanksgiving. And I just ask you, is Jesus still your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
And will you uphold this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes.
We welcome you officially. God bless you guys. Love you guys. If y'all want to go ahead and be seated.
Thank you.
And make sure James and Patsy get a hug or a handshake before they leave today. Get to know them. Sweet couple. Children, come on up for the children's message.
This morning. Y'all want to scoot over a little bit so I can see you? Good morning. All right. Good to see y'all this morning. Are y'all excited to be here today?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Well, I'm excited that you're here. Y'all going to talk this morning? All right. So what did we just finish this week at church?
VBS.
That's right. We just finished. Hey, boys and girls, can y'all come out this way a little bit so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. Huh?
I think they were trying to hide.
You think they were trying to hide? Oh, okay, that's all right. So, yes, we just finished True North VBS, and so we just want to talk about that for a little bit, and then we're going to show you a video of how fun and exciting it was, okay? So, as we learned at True North VBS, that we can always trust who? Jesus, that's right. And that Jesus always points us in the right direction, right? Is he our true north? Yes. So which way does he point us? Does he point us north? He points us north. That's right. And he always points us to heaven, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, no, north is not to heaven. But he always points us in the right direction, right? Yes, he always points us in the right direction. He'll never point us the wrong way, will he? Do we get lost sometimes? But can we always turn to Jesus and he helps us find our way, doesn't he? That's right. So no matter what's going on in our lives, we can trust Jesus and that he is always with us and he never, ever changes, right? So I want to tell a little bit about VBS. So this year at VBS, we had 216 kids, and we had 105 servants here filling the church, and they were praising God and doing worship and making crafts and learning Bible stories and Bible truths, playing games, and eating snacks. Did everybody have a great time? Yes, all right. And then, of course, we had our two expert hikers here. Right? Do y'all remember our expert hikers? Yes. Benjamin? What? That's right. In case y'all didn't hear it, it's Wilderness Willie and Mountain Man Mike. Always show up, they showed up this year, and they shared with us every day an exciting adventure and what they needed on their adventure, right? They needed toilet paper. You're right. They did. But they needed other things too. They needed a compass. Did they need God's word? Yes, they did. They needed the Bible. Well, you never know what kids are going to remember from VBS, right? Do what? Huh? A binky? Oh, okay. Yes. a stuffed animal. Okay. But we need to remember that no matter what, we can trust Jesus, right? And that he always points us in the right direction. So Ms. Teresa is going to tell us about the mission project and other things.
All right. Our mission project was Operation Christmas Child. And on Sunday night, we packed 128 shoeboxes. So those will go around. Yes. And then we asked the kids to bring in their donations, and we'll use that to help ship the boxes all around the world. And we always make it a competition, the boys against the girls. And we get excited every day on who has brought in the most each day. And then there's the overall total. And on the 4 days, the boys brought in $511, with the girls coming in into the healthy second at $492. So together they brought in $1,002. Well done. And I always like to talk about the fourth and fifth graders, because on Tuesday and Wednesday we send them out to the food bank. And I had 38 kids going out to the fourth and fifth graders, go out to the food bank, and they served and worked there on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they served our community with packing carrots and food boxes with fruit cups in it, and they just were put to work and served their community that way. So that was wonderful as well. Oh, that's right. And next, we will watch the video that we've set up for Vacation Bible School.
Mountain Man. Okay. My trusty compass says left there is north.
Okay, well,
so
that's good.
So you then always got to have something that shows you true north. Wow. Okay. You can't rely on just your own instinct.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
You know, when we're out in the wilderness and we're scared and we're maybe sad, that that Jesus is kind of like that compass.
He is.
He is.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, we can always look his direction, and he can help us with anything.
Well, are you kids ready to learn more about Jesus this week?
Yeah! In the valley of the shadow, I got a feeling it's season that'll make me grow. I'm still praise in my lungs, in a choir in my soul, can't steal my joy, can't steal my joy. What the world could it give, though it can't take away? Sorrow may come, but it can't steal my joy. Till it overflows. I remember, I'll keep holding on to hope. 'Cause you're the king of rolling stones, can't steal my joy.
Down in my soul, deep in my bones, I got the joy, joy, joy.
Well, as you can see, we had an amazing time, and we just share the love of Jesus with those kids. And as they go out into this world, we pray that they will have a foundation that they can live their life for Jesus. And so as we continue that through Sunday school and children's church, that we want these kids to know Jesus and to live their life for him, and that knowing that we can trust Jesus all the time, in any place, anywhere, anytime. And so let's trust Jesus always. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the joy of Vacation Bible School and the joy of just coming and loving on these kids and sharing Jesus with them as they came into this place, Lord. I pray that they go out into this world and that they know you and that they will share your love with others around them, Lord. Just bless us today at church and through Children's Church, and just bless each family today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Good morning. What happens at VBS stays at VBS, let me say. Now, gosh, lots of joy in the house, and I know one particular age group, one of the leaders said that these kids are asking really, really deep questions. And so just praying that that'll take root and spiritual growth will happen from that. Well, I encourage you to go ahead and check into this service. For those of you worshiping with us online, God bless you. I encourage you to check into the online service. Several things coming up. The Threads of the Heart Ministry is meeting this afternoon from 1:30 to 5 p.m., second floor, room 210. They've got a number of projects that they're working on, so you can join them if you're not connected to that ministry. Our normal schedule is resuming, have prayer tomorrow at noon, and our men's and women's Bible studies on Tuesday, and our Wednesday night ministry start back this Wednesday night, a meal from 5 to 6, and then our children, youth, and adult activities from 6 to 7:30. Encourage you to go ahead and stand if you're able. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I want to pray about events that are going on in the world, particularly the Middle East. I don't know if you agree with the decision of our military entering into that skirmish or not, but we need to pray for that region. We need to pray for safety and protection for the people of Israel, for our military personnel. And I read something interesting this morning that there is a revival going on in Iran. Did y'all know that? They think maybe 3 million people have come to Christ in the last few years. And I also read that there's, I think, 75,000 mosques in Iran, and they've closed 50,000 of those. What they're doing is not working for the people. And the Lord is visiting people with dreams and visions, and they're seeing Jesus, and they're coming to faith in him. And so we can pray for those people as well, that they'll come to know Christ through this season. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you to join me as I pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. God, you reign supreme. You rule and reign. There's no one that's going to replace you on the throne. And Lord, things only happen because you allow them to happen. And Father, you're well aware of the turmoil in the Middle East. And Lord, I pray for protection for the innocent. I pray for protection for the citizens of Israel. God, I pray for protection for our military personnel in that region, for citizens in that region. And God, I pray for the people of Iran, the ones that are caught up in the fallout. And Lord, I pray for wisdom for the military leaders in our nation, the military leaders in Israel. And Father, I just pray against the evil in that region. I pray against that force, that spiritual force is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And so, Lord, would you do something supernatural for your glory? The area is a mess, and God, we need you. God, I pray for the people of Iran. I thank you for the revival that's taking place, God. And I just pray that explodes. That many people come to know who Christ is through this season. And God, I pray for boldness for those believers as they share their faith with their neighbors and their family. Even if it costs them their life, God, would you give them boldness? And Lord, it's going to take a supernatural act of yours for peace to rest in that region. But we pray for peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God, I also want to lift up the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Lord, I pray, Father, that come to an end, that people are protected. It just seems senseless, to be honest, of what's going on there. So I pray for wisdom for those who are trying to bring that to an end. I pray, God, for a shift in the heart of the people of Russia, their leadership. And Lord, we pray for peace in that region as well. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. I pray that you show up in power in both those arenas for your glory. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Offering boxes are by the doors. There's giving options on the screen. I want to remind you that we'll have people available for prayer after the service. And once again, I encourage you to take advantage of that. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Well, good morning again, church. Glad you are with us this morning. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. God bless you. If you are a guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with the blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be down at this end of the foyer with a gift for our guests, so hope to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 18. Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hear these words from the Lord. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak? Teach us, Holy Spirit. Would you teach and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So, why do you think, just some questions that maybe we found ourselves asking from time to time, why did God create a world where wars kill hundreds of thousands of people? Why did God create a world where natural disasters, I actually looked this up, kill approximately 50,000 people each year? Why did God create a world where cancer exists, where all sorts of things can happen? We're going to address those today and more. Today's message is, if God is good, how can He allow suffering? One argument that people, certainly people outside of Christ, might make when it comes to suffering: either God is not a God of power and is therefore helpless to do anything about our human suffering, or He's not a God of love and is indifferent to our suffering. I don't believe either one of those arguments. I don't believe either one. You know, when we face questions in our lives, like we taught the kids this week, we should look for true north. We should look to God's word. There's going to be a lot. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you today about suffering. The handout, the insert in your bulletin has these scriptures listed, so you can kind of hang with me. But let's dive in. This God that allows suffering. First of all, we must acknowledge the reality of suffering. You know, we have this God that he didn't try to pull the wool over our eyes and say, "Hey, come follow me, and everything's going to be great. I'm going to put this protective bubble around you, and you will never have any more trouble." No. In fact, Jesus said, "Hey, guess what? In this world, you're going to have trouble." We must acknowledge the reality of suffering. I love it in John chapter 11. Jesus tell this story a lot of times at funerals because there's so much to glean from this when we're grieving. But Jesus he meets Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, and Jesus knows he's on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows that soon this grief will turn to rejoicing, but in that moment, he meets Mary and Martha, who are grieving, suffering. And what does he do? He doesn't beat his chest and say, "Come with me, watch this, I'm fixing to do this miraculous thing." No, the shortest verse in the Bible, two words: Jesus wept. In that moment, he connected with their suffering. They were grieving. They were suffering the loss of this brother that they loved, and Jesus wept. This Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "Now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." So he's, again, affirming that in this life, we're going to suffer. We're going to have things happen. Yes? We must acknowledge the reality of suffering. And leads me to point number two. We must understand the source of suffering. God didn't create evil. He didn't create this evil world. He created a perfect world. But here's where it got complicated. He gave us, out of love, his motive was love, he gave us free will. And guess what? We chose sin. Now we can blame Adam and Eve all day long, but I tell people this, if we had been, any of us, including myself, if we had been in the garden and were there long enough with choices to make, to be obedient to the Lord or to choose what he told us not to do, we would have chose sin, just like Adam and Eve. And sin introduces brokenness into the world and the consequences of brokenness, death, disease, disaster. You know, it's interesting. I think we fall short in our definition of sin. We think sin is something we do, decisions we make that are contrary to God's will in our life. While that is, yes, that is sin, but it's also, sin is a condition that we inherit. We are conceived in that condition of sin. We come from the womb sinners. As a child is born, before they have the capacity to know right from wrong, to make good or bad decisions, they are sinners. We are sinners. Sin introduces brokenness. It's the very source of a fallen world. You can read Genesis chapter 3. You can read all about how God warned Adam and Eve. He gave them this free will. He warned them to not do what he had told them not to do. They did it, and the consequences set in. We now live in this broken world, and that is the source of suffering. I've shared this before, but I have many email lists that I'm on that are many of them are Christian emails that give me Christian news, what's happening in the world of Christianity and so forth with leaders and things that are happening. And it grieves me greatly to how often I read about a Christian leader, high profile leader most of the time, that falls, and I tell our staff and I will tell you, when we are there for Christ ambassadors, and when Christ ambassador, when we fall, certainly high profile pastors, worship leaders, people in ministry, when we fall, all of us, it's a pretty loud thud, and it does damage to the kingdom, and God is still on the throne, no matter our sin or not, but the message of the gospel is damaged when God's people fall. There is one of the, just in the last couple of weeks, this has come out. Many of you have read about this probably. Newsboys, the group, the Christian contemporary group, Newsboys. I love Newsboys. They've got some great music that brings honor to God. Their lead singer, Michael Tatum, this is not a condemnation on him, because he's just like the rest of us. He's entitled to God's mercy and grace. But Michael Tate, the lead singer for Newsboys, resigned from, he stepped out of that role a few months ago, and it's come to light just recently, and he has admitted that he was leading a double life. While he was singing songs to glorify God, he was leading a double life where there was drugs involved and there was sexual sin and all kinds of stuff going on in his life. And it makes an impact in the kingdom. People outside of Christ, when we fall, they go, see there? Just a bunch of hypocrites. We must remember the source of suffering, and it's sin, our sin. Here's a quote from Michael Tate. He has repented, but he's on a path to being restored. But he's repented and he's admitted this in his life. And listen to this quote from him. He says, sin is a terrible thing. It takes us places we don't want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs us more than we want to pay. That's sin. It's so while there is natural suffering in our world, we can't help it if there's a tornado or a hurricane or a fire, those sort of things. But much of the suffering that we deal with is self-imposed through sin in our life. We must understand our brokenness, being in a fallen world, is the source of our suffering. And then number three, we must remember God's purpose in pain. We don't even like saying that, do we? That God has a purpose in pain. He doesn't cause those things. It was the fall that caused the suffering that we go through. But God uses it to his glory, certainly, if we let him. Many times, God accomplishes growth through brokenness. It's been a while since I've used my shoulder problems as an analogy, but I feel led to. When I was in high school, I hurt my shoulders playing football, and my wife asked me all the time, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You didn't know that she could talk like that, did you? No, she doesn't sound like that. But she does ask that question, and I say, well, at the time, it sure seemed like it was. Now, not so much. But one of the things, my shoulders, if I had multiple surgeries, but they come out of socket. That makes me hurt to even talk about that, Billy. Anyway, they come out of socket. And even back, certainly prior to my surgeries, even putting on a T-shirt, I had to be careful. It's kind of like, you know, you got to slide up into it, you know. And what happened is I learned to function in my brokenness. I learned you can't change that light bulb. You need to get a taller ladder. You can't reach up and change. I can do it now. It's okay. It's not going to come out now. Everybody's going. But I learned to function in my brokenness. God, man, that's not the heart of God for us. But God has purpose in the pain. Two examples I'm going to use. These are high-profile type people in the Christian community that are an inspiration to me. The first one is Joni Erickson Tada. I don't know, you may have heard of Joni. She's around pushing 70-ish or so now. At the time, she was 17, fully healthy young lady, and her and some friends went swimming, and she misjudged the depth of the water and dove off and broke her neck and became paralyzed from the neck down at 17 and has been that way her whole life. She is, you can see there, she paints with her teeth. She is a world-renowned motivational speaker. She's an author. She's done all kinds of wonderful things. And if you read some of her story, when she first broke her neck, and you can imagine being 17 years old and your life changes like that, she was angry, bitter, depressed, all of the above. And yet she has turned her life into a life that brings glory to the Lord. The next one that I want to mention is Nick Vujicic. Nick, many of us went to the Promise Keepers a few years ago in Arlington, and Nick actually was one of the speakers. Nick was born with no arms and no legs. That'll set you back. I've read a little bit about him. Nick was, when he was born, his father was a pastor. When he was born, his mother, it took her a while to even want to hold him because she was so much in shock. And Nick, as he was growing up, you can imagine he was made fun of. He struggled with anger and depression, and even had tried to commit suicide. And then he found Jesus. And Nick is a world-renowned motivational speaker, travels all over the world, drawing people to Christ, the goodness of Christ. And he is a fireplug, man. I'm telling you, this guy, he joy exudes from him. And what's really amazing, go to that next slide, if you would, Ben. He has a wife, beautiful wife, and beautiful children. And he hasn't let that stop him. And I think about those two examples, two dramatic examples. There's purpose in pain. There's purpose in suffering. If we can become bitter with our suffering, or we can become better in the hands of the Lord. Listen to this quote from Nick. I found the purpose of my existence and also the purpose of my circumstance. There's a purpose for why you're in the fire. It's amazing. It's amazing. In all honesty, I don't know in either one of those situations, I don't know that I can do it. But through the Lord, we can do all things, which leads me to Romans 8. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Here it is. And who have been called according to his purpose. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer, just in your own mind. How many of you have grown closer to the Lord when things are going really, really well in your life? When everybody's healthy, everybody likes you, you got plenty of everything. We tend to, at least I'm speaking for me, I know where I've grown the most closer to the Lord has been through trying times. There's a purpose. He works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He rejoices. We also rejoice in our sufferings. Even that statement is we can't quite compute, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. God, we're this being molded in God's hands, even as we suffer. For Peter, now you have for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So there again, professing, yes, we're going to suffer. These have come, he says, so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, man, suffering, if we press into the Lord as he's embracing us, can produce praise and honor and glory to the Lord. Fourthly, we must, when we're suffering, we must look to the cross. God didn't stand back and go, those poor humans that I created, look how they're suffering. He stepped into our suffering. He entered into our suffering through Jesus. Isaiah 53, the prophetically is talking about Jesus. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, prophetically predicting how Jesus would suffer. Jesus said to them at that night when he had the Last Supper with them, he said, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross proves God's love for us. If you're ever wondering, certainly in the midst of suffering, certainly in the midst of pain and grief, if you're ever wondering, is God even mindful of me? Does he even love me to allow this to happen, whatever this is? The answer is he's already proven how he feels about you on the cross. And finally, fifth thing, we must trust that suffering is temporary. You know, Jesus said, in this world, we will suffer. But I've overcome the world. Suffering is temporary. Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne, Jesus, said, I am making everything new. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Psalms 34. One of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. So the way it works, when we lean into God, he draws near to us, because if we're brokenhearted, he draws near to us, he comforts us, and that comfort should overflow out of us. We should be an agent, an ambassador for God. Again, Romans 8, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Suffering is in this world and is temporary. If you'll just bow your heads with me as the praise team makes their way back up. Father, sometimes we just hurt, Lord. And sometimes we don't understand. Would you speak to our hearts? Your word says that you're close to the brokenhearted and you're the God of all comfort. So would you do what you do, what only you can do? Lord, there may be some right now this very morning, either here in the room or maybe at home, that's going through a difficult, difficult season. Perhaps there's loss or sadness or depression or illness. Perhaps there's broken relationships. Would you do what only you can do? Wipe away the tears. Jesus, if somebody needs you to weep with them, would you weep? We thank you that even though we'll have trouble in this world, that you are greater than this world. You're greater than the brokenness of this world. Comfort. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise, if you are able, as we close, the altar is open. If you don't know that Jesus, that God of all comfort, don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. God bless you.
Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. That there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still
this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone.
And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.